For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
The thing for me is, like, I had to realize that not all money is good money.
That's right.
You know, some people that, you know, I was really close to in my spiritual journey were like, how are you working at Space but then teaching fitness? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not aligned.
And I remember when I got fired from Space, I was still doing like bottle serving gigs. Like, I was still doing gigs on the side.
Like, pick it up here and there.
And at the time, I had people that were holding me accountable. They're like, yo, you're never going to get into your big wellness bag if you keep tiptoeing in this bullshit. Mm. Because you're showing the universe, like, you're not really all in. You're not 10 toes down, bitch.
Welcome to the Becoming Her podcast with me, Nikki Spolstra. This is a space where we explore the human experience and the challenges, obstacles, and resiliency that shape who we are. Alongside expert guests and featured friends, I am here to host meaningful conversations that tackle life's complex challenges with humor, grace, and a little bit of sass. You are here for a reason, for the collective growth, so we may deepen our understanding of ourselves and the world around us.
All right, so today we have a very special guest, Johanna Riku. You might know her as Jungle Johanna on IG. Johanna is a Miami-based trainer, power yoga teacher, and certified Pilates instructor. She is classically trained in ballet and translated her dance background into a fitness career with a movement style that embodies strength, flexibility, and sculpting. Johanna's biggest goal is to diversify the wellness space and uplift her community with knowledge so that every single student feels welcome to train. Here's the deal, though. If you follow Johanna on IG, she is compassionately, empathetically, emphatically no nonsense. Just because she operates from a place of peace does not mean she takes bullshit. In fact, she taketh no shit. She is authentic to the core. What you see is what you get, and her audacity is straight up inspiring. This is a woman who has the guts to show up as herself every single day, and she helps other people shine in the process. I'm excited to plug in with the Pilates plug herself, Johanna Riku. As soon as I was prepping for this interview with you, I thought about this Elizabeth Kubler-Ross quote, and it says, "The most beautiful people we have known are those who have known defeat, known suffering, known struggle, known loss, and have found their way out of the depths. These persons have an appreciation, a sensitivity, and an understanding of life that fills them with compassion, gentleness, and a deep loving concern. Beautiful people do not just happen."
I love that.
I know, I love it too. And I'm like, I think like in the healing space, there's a lot of like the word gentle was used in that quote.
Yeah.
Like, you can be gentle, but also be, like, one tough bitch.
Yeah, boundaries.
And I'm giving, like, everything that you give online anyway is, like, do not fucketh with Johanna.
Yeah. I mean, I always say, like, easy, breezy, beautiful boundaries. Like,
I love that.
I'm just, like, I'm good, you know? Like, and practicing discernment with something that, like, I'm a Libra. So, like, naturally, like, I want everyone to like me. And, like, I don't like confrontation, but I'm also a Scorpio moon. So, like, I'll actually fuck your whole life up. Like, I'll never strike first, but I'll always strike back. And so for me, like in my journey of like growth and also like popping, right? Because like in the last couple of years, like Aloe, my retreats, my certifications,
big,
like all the things,
big
you know?
Shit.
And unfortunately, like the wellness community is full of people that are unwell.
Hmm.
Ergo, they look for this wellness, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
So like it's people that, you know, struggle from addiction, struggle from, you know, depression. A lot of people are looking for community. There's a lot of people looking for something in that community. And so, you know, when you are thriving in your space and there's other people in the space not thriving, like jealousy is like a very human emotion. I say it all the time. Like I've been jealous of people many, many times in my head.
Yeah.
It's like, what do I do with that information? Like, how do I act on it? And I think that like people are like, you're not supposed to be jealous of your friends. I think you could be anything, you know? It's just like, okay, am I going to check this emotion and work through it and like talk with my therapist or figure it out? Or am I going to act out and be psychotic? You know, it's like, it's one of the two. And so for me, like, I also come from like a very strong, like I grew up, my dad's Jamaican. My mom is white. My mom had no family. My mom like barely raised me. I was raised by my grandma and my aunt and my dad and like my whole Jamaican family. And like, it's very, very strong women and like very strong men and even stronger women and like women that like came from nothing, women that didn't have husbands, women that like were single moms, raising kids, like creating families and like surviving, like really like very much survival mode, which, you know, I think I'm the first person in my generation to like be outside of that lack mindset. So like a lot of my family doesn't understand me, especially like my dad and my mom. But, you know, I was raised with these principles. Like I was raised like a man. I was raised like, you know, get money. I was raised like, don't let these bitches see you cry, you know? So I've always had like a very masculine and aggressive, like it's survival, you know? And it's what my parents had to, it's what my dad had to do. You know, my mom is second generation, but my mom grew up poor.
Yeah.
My dad grew up poor. Like I come from like very humble beginnings. I come from like very self-made, self-working middle-class upbringing, you know? And so I saw work as like a way to make money. And so like, I was like, okay, cool. Of course, my parents like wanted me to go to college and like do all the things. And I was like, I'm going to have a drug addiction instead, you know, but everything I do is self-made. And so people don't like that.
No.
Like people don't like that. People don't like that in Miami where everyone has a sugar daddy or like a rich baby daddy or a fuck. And you know, there's no shade at all,
for sure.
But like, I don't have any of that. And like, I got this shit out the mud. And like, people don't like that. People want it to be like, oh, well, she got it from so-and-so and she's got an inheritance. Like, I don't have that. You know?
I think that people really want to be like, give a person an excuse, right?
Yeah.
Like people are like, oh, well, she has it because this, you know, she had it easy. Like, and what it is, Johanna, is like an ultimate, like, insecurity of themselves, of them not being able to rise up and like level up to their own.
Always.
Right? Oh, well, she can do it because of that. And something you said about jealousy, it's like every so often, and this happened specifically before I started this show, I was like, oh, she has a podcast. And I'd be like, oh, shade, a little envy.
Yeah.
And not malicious shade or malicious envy, but I was like, I want to be doing that, but I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing it.
Well, I think jealousy, like, I think it could be, you know, like character defects, right? Like, I think it can make it ambition, you know? It's like, okay, cool. Like, she's got this. She's doing the things. I could do the things too. Not like sit around and like hate on somebody who's doing it, you know? And like, I have people that are in my field that I don't necessarily fuck with, like on a personal level, but I'm also not going to like downplay their skills.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't fuck with her, but she's killing it. And like, I'm going to need her to stay over there. But like, she's got it, but like, I don't want it, you know? And it's like, I've had women who have been friends with me who, you know, we've had falling outs or, you know, really they've had falling outs because I never switch up. And then all of a sudden I'm bad at Pilates or all of a sudden my certification sucks. And I'm like, wait, but what? Like it didn't suck when you were cool with me, but now it sucks because we're not cool. Like, you don't, maybe I suck, but like what I do doesn't suck. You know what I mean? Right. Like, be fucking for real.
Well, you don't like me, but don't fuck with my game.
You know what I mean? And I'm the same way. So it's like, you know, I've really had to practice discernment on this journey because like so much of my success has been through service and been through like, you know, being of maximum service to like God and my fellows, like actually like in real life, not just like in a room an hour a week. And so with that, like for me, I've also realized that like, yes, I'm doing all these things and I'm doing all these beautiful things and I'm doing the free classes and I'm doing the scholarships and I'm doing the community and I'm doing the nonprofit work and I'm going into the prisons and I'm doing the Pilates and all the things, but also like, yo, like don't fuck with me. You know what I mean? And also like, I'm still going to get my check too. Like I'm not a martyr, you know? So I always keep it like free for the community, but like I run it up for the corporation is
for
like
sure.
How I
and
say.
You know, it's also that like, I think this influencer and creator space, people underestimate what your worth is as a creative person, right? As an energetic exchange. Like there's an energetic exchange in everything. Mm-hmm. Money is an energetic exchange. So like you're going to get paid for your energy and 100%. Creativity and your creation. And I think that the corporate world sometimes, I think they're coming around to it, yeah. but people and society at large, you're an influencer, you're a content creator. And for what it's worth, like you are in the wellness space, but you are a legitimate content creator in the wellness space.
Well, I also have a real job.
Yeah.
Like I teach
right.
and I train clients, you know, like I don't just work out online. And I'm not saying that that's not a real job. And I'm not saying that that's yeah. not a skill. Like I'm very empathetic to the cause. Like even like during Art Basel, I was out with some girlfriends and like, you know, this is what they do full time. And they were like, we have to go here. We have to go there. And I was like, I want to go home. Like oh, yeah. I'm fucking bored. These bitches are boring. Like get me the fuck out of here. But like, yeah. I'm like, damn, if this was my job and this was my only means of income, like, yeah, I guess I have to be where the people
yeah.
are, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like, I guess I have to be there.
I struggle with that.
I don't.
Because I don't want to be.
I don't at all. Like, I want to be home. Like, I struggle with showing up to the events.
Well, that's what I struggle with.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to be there. Yeah. I don't want to be where the people
yeah,
are.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I'm not trying to do it. And so,
yeah.
and it's tough because I do get invited to the events as well. And I'm just like.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know I have to. Like, I went to an event yesterday and it was whack. And I was like, all right, like, but I was here.
But there's some
like,
things you have to show up for, right? Like, whether it's because of your partnerships or because of yeah, relationships that you yeah. have with people.
I just like things in the wellness space. When it's outside of the wellness space, I don't love it because it's really not going to, like, I'm not going to, it's like, if I get invited to a wellness event, I might meet the, you know, person in charge of you know, influencer marketing of that company and they might hire me.
Yeah.
It's like, if I'm going to something for like a liquor brand, I don't drink. If I'm going to something
exactly.
for like hair care, I don't, I'm not a hair care influencer. Like I just happen to have dope hair. I don't even do my hair half the time, you know, like it's not like my
scope. I'm just like this.
It's not my scope. Well, I have like tons of extensions in too, so that helps. But yeah, it's not really my scope. And so for me, like, I have a real job, like, and I'm not saying, again, like, I'm not saying what they do is not real, but, like, I teach clients. I teach classes. Like, I have classes that I have to show up for. Like, I've always worked through my entire career. I was working as a model. I worked as a bottle girl for years. I owned my own agency. I worked as a personal assistant. I had many different hats that I wore in Johanna, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, yes, there's brand partnerships, and yes, there's, you know, these curated events, but I also teach classes. And if I didn't teach classes, I wouldn't have any of that. Like my, the respect people have for me is the way that I teach my class. Like, yes, I'm pretty in the things, but my classes are good.
Yeah.
I do certifications. Right. Like I'm a teacher.
Right.
I'm a
You're
mentor.
Teaching teachers.
I'm
yeah.
a teacher,
right.
you know? So it's like, yeah, like the Instagram shit is cute and like all that shit is cool and I'll take it. Like mm-hmm. abso-fucking-lutely. And like Aloe's amazing. And like, yeah, but I'm in a studio six, seven classes a week. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, what I think happens also is like people see you on the internet, right? And they see this outward expression of who you are and they think it's like an overnight thing,
always.
Right? So like
always.
They see, oh yeah, you've just been doing this uh-huh. and you just have all these followers and you're yeah. impacting all of these people in the mm-hmm. community and whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. But they don't necessarily know the bottle girl story. They don't know the drug addict story. They don't know.
I've been doing this for 10 years.
Right. They don't know how yeah. long you've been working. That happens a lot to me too,
yeah.
because like I had four jobs while I was in college. Like mm. I was teaching 12 dance classes a week. I was a Miami Heat dancer. I was working at Cameo and Live as a go-go dancer. And
did you when? When were
like,
you at Live?
Oh girl, let me see. 2005 to 2009.
Okay, you were before
10.
Me. I was like 2010.
Yeah.
But we never met.
No, I know.
I was the head dancer at Live for like 3 years.
Get out with Zantra.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. With Benji Sid.
It was me, Romina.
Romina. Like I danced
but
with
not
Romina.
Ramona. Romina.
Romina.
Not tall.
Yeah, no, Romina.
It was me, Romy. It was Miley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was Goosey there? Goosty, the hair and makeup guy,
yeah,
the costume
of course.
Guy.
Yeah.
So like I was hustling in college.
Yeah.
Like I was financially independent from the time I was 19.
Yeah.
And you like, to your point, like about everybody in my, like a lot of people in Miami have the rich baby daddy and the a sugar daddy or whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people sleep on it. Like they think, okay, well she just, you know.
Yeah.
She's
yeah, but that's
been
just
working
work too because I've
she's
had,
been working.
But I've had sugar daddies and still had a full time.
But
job
I've been
too,
working. You know what I mean?
Like
so,
yeah.
it's okay. Like
yeah.
okay.
If no, anything, I never hate on it ever.
But if anything, I was ripe for like this existence that I have now because I'm like, oh, I need to go do my shit. I got it. I know how
yeah.
to do this. Like this
yeah.
isn't foreign to me. I have work ethic. Like a lot
yeah.
of people go from. Like, especially in Miami, the wealthy crowd of Miami, these women grow up in living off of their parents' money, which is
Are you
normal.
From Miami?
Fine. Yeah, I was born and raised here.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So like a lot of these women, especially grow up on mommy and daddy's dime, which is, you know, normal, whatever. Okay. But then they go to their husband's dime.
Yeah.
And then when shit goes south in their marriage, they're stuck. Yeah. And they don't know what to do because they can't leave because they don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
They don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, people like you, people like me, like, we know how to do it.
Yeah.
So like, ain't nobody gonna trap us.
Yeah.
Like, we're not trapped anywhere. Like, I'm not trapped anywhere I go.
Yeah.
Like, double down on me.
Yeah.
You know, hardcore,
yeah.
Hardcore. And so I think it's really interesting. The things don't happen overnight. Like a lot of people think that they do. And the work, the proof is in the pudding. Like you've been yeah. there, done that. You've been on this grind.
I'm also not from here. I'm from Jersey. Like we yeah. have like New York work ethic. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like my parents, like were, my mom was hustling on Wall Street and my dad was hustling on Park Ave. Like they worked, I worked. My first job was at McDonald's. I was 14. I lied to my job application and said I was 15 so I could get a job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I've been yeah. working since I was 14.
Right.
I used to like sell... Like I used to sell snacks at school. Like mm-hmm. I used to like ask, I used to stand at the lunch line and like, I think like lunch was like $2.65. So like your parents would give you $3. So I'd stand at the end of the line and ask everyone for their change. And then I'd get like everyone's change. And then I'd go to the table, like where my girls were at, and I'd put all the change on the table. And I'm like, we have lunch. Like that's what I did. I would like steal jeans from like the mall and then sell them at school. Like my dad would go and like get me like fake knockoff Chanel bags on Chinatown. I'd sell them at school. Like I was always doing that. Like my stepdaughter does that now. Like I gave my stepdaughter, like I give her like the goodie bags, like from the influencer
yeah,
event.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And it was like, make one. She's like, can I sell this? And I was like, you're not going to sell this. And then I was like, yo, sell this. Like
yeah.
she's selling like eyelash kits and like she's selling, she's like, what's this? It's like eyelash curler. I'm like, don't
How
sell
old
that.
Is she?
'Cause she's nine.
That's awesome.
She was doing it. She's doing it before I was doing it. I was doing it at like 14, 15. But yeah. like I was always just a hustler. You know what I mean? Like I sold like a little bit of weed. You know, like I was just always selling shit. Like that's just like what I've always done. And like we're Jamaican and like we're not typical Jamaican because like a lot of Jamaican people are very much like hustlers like that.
Uh-huh.
But like my husband's dad was like that. Like my husband's dad was like a hustler in the 80s. So like he would sell like coats and like jewelry and like other things. And like my ring like fell off a truck and like he's... That's just kind of like, so, you know, my husband's like that. I'm like that. It makes sense that we're like in a partnership together. But work has always been like very liberating for me. Like work has always been something that like you work and you get money and like there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, it's also really awesome that you do what you like to do
yeah.
and get paid.
Yeah. Well, now that I'm in alignment, right?
Right.
Like,
well, talk about that because I think a lot of people are just not.
Well, I think they also don't even understand that's I think most people don't understand it's possible to have a purpose. I don't even think they understand that.
Yeah.
I think that they just yeah. see the money and that's what they want. You have to understand that like the purpose, like you find your passion and your purpose and then you get your profit.
If you're looking for deeper connection, check out the Becoming Her exclusive online community where you will meet with me and other like-minded, mission-centered women who are on the journey to the biggest, most glorious homecoming and glow up. You can connect with me personally on Instagram at Nikki Sapsbo and @wearebecoming_her. For more information on all of the things, visit NikkiSpo.com.
So it's like, I was modeling for a long time, which like, I guess it was my purpose at the time. It was something I always wanted to do. I started as a dancer.
Yeah.
So like I made money from that. And I was like doing the go-go dance thing. I was also like a classically trained ballerina in New York. Like I would teach for like, I would apprentice for like Dancer Harlem and Ailey and like... Then like my addiction kicked in and I was like, I'm not doing this. I'm going to model. So I was modeling.
Which probably didn't help the addiction.
No.
Like the lifestyle.
No.
Right.
So then I pretty much moved to Miami when I was like about to turn 21, maybe 20. One or the two. No, I was going to turn 21 because I got sober. I just turned 21 when I moved to Miami. At the end of 2009, like I moved like Halloween weekend. So I moved to Miami. I got a job with Zontra like fucking like 2 weeks later. So I'm doing that. I'm working retail. So that was doing that. Then I quit the retail. So I was dancing and modeling. Then I got married. Early sobriety because I got sober in April of 2010. So then I got married.
God
so
bless.
I'm married. Yes. Married, dancing, modeling, doing that, doing that, doing that, doing that. Stop dancing. Then I'm doing like hostessing at the clubs. Then I'm getting a divorce. Now I'm a bottle server
and a
model.
Okay, and where was the purpose in that?
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I mean, I don't think there was any purpose then. I'm not saying you don't know your purpose when you're 21. I know that I just didn't.
I didn't either. You know what I mean? Well, I think that a big part of it.
I think my purpose was just to stay sober.
Yeah, well, to stay sober and to like survive, right? Like to like get your money to survive. Like I remember feeling like I could not take any risks because all I had to do was get paper. Like I had to be able to support myself and put food on my table and pay my rent.
Yeah.
And I paid my tuition off and there was no purpose. I didn't find a sense of purpose until I got sober. Real talk.
I got married and my husband was Jewish. Well, he is Jewish. He's not dead. He's just not with us right now. And like his mom hated me. So she cut him off.
She cut him off.
Because I was black and a non-Jew. And she actually tried to fight me the first time she met me. She like tried to like actually.
I would
like,
not visit. Fight her. She I would actually, not fight
no,
Johanna.
No, his mom is like a black belt. No, she's like a black belt in karate. Like she would have murdered me. Yeah. So like we did that whole thing.
Fuck her.
He was like self-supporting. Absolutely fuck her. Self-supporting. But he was like working with her. He had like a very like incestuous relationship with his mom, like which I hear is like
these
a thing.
Boys is a thing.
I hear it with Jewish boys and I hear it with Latin boys. My husband does not have that relationship with his. I think you might be right. But like, so that was happening. And I was like, what? I was 21 when I got married. I was sober. It was like, it seemed like the right thing to do. Like this guy loves me. This guy's nice. Like this guy's got a little bit of paper.
This guy loves me.
I probably won't drink through this marriage and I could focus on actually being sober. So like that, my purpose was to be sober.
Yeah. Okay.
Because if I wasn't that, I wasn't anything.
You weren't anything. Yeah, for sure.
I would think like I got divorced in 2015. I was 25 and I was working as a bottle girl at Wall. I had just got promoted. Like it was like serendipitous because I was like, how the fuck am I going to live? And then I got this like job where I was making like $2,000 a night. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to live like this. So I was sober. I was working in the clubs and I was still modeling. And I was just moving through that divorce. And I just worked through that divorce, like literally just worked, like literally just made money through it. It was like, it never even happened, honestly.
What was the emotional part of it for you?
I think the hardest part about it was like, he started fucking somebody from AA right after.
That sucks.
So then like, I almost beat his ass and her ass outside of a meeting. Like, I think I spit in someone got their face bit in. One of the two. Yeah, so that happened. Had to make an amends. That was difficult.
Did you make that amend?
Of course.
You did.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All the things.
Yeah.
And she's not sober anymore, though, so we'll pray for her. And he moved to New York, too, but I went through that. I had never been sober and single. I was 25 years old, and then I started dating, like, drug addicts. And, like, my ex, who, like, I was with for a year, like, worked the door at Liv.
And you stayed sober?
Yeah, I stayed sober
while you were
all of it.
Dating the drug addicts?
All of it.
Yeah.
I dated, like, 3 drug addicts. I mean, I didn't know they were, then I was just,
How did
like,
you
oh,
not know,
tracks.
Though, if you had been there?
Because
I can tell.
Addicts are really good at hiding shit.
That's
too.
True. That's true.
You know
that's
what
so
I mean?
True.
Like,
that's
they're really
so
good
true.
At hiding it. So now that I'm not, once I find out, I'm in it and I'm just like,
you're like
fuck.
No,
you know?
This ain't good.
So I moved through that whole thing. And then really during COVID, I met my husband right before COVID. I had just left. So I was doing the modeling, I was doing the things, I was doing the bottle service. Then an old friend of mine who I actually met in the program fell into some money. He wanted me to be a personal assistant. He was going to pay me like hella bread. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. So I quit all my jobs.
I love this. I love this like trajectory of like, fuck yeah. Like
yeah,
I remember somebody want the first time I moderated a panel, the woman who booked me for it, she was like, by the way, I booked you to moderate a panel. I'm like, I've never moderated a panel before. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
She's like, you do now. Like, just go do it. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do it. Like,
yeah,
okay, fine. I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to figure it out. Like,
yeah. Well, that's the best way to figure something out is by doing it.
Just doing it. Go.
So I'm working as a personal assistant. He's psychotic. He's like dry drunk, like manic. And like, it sucks because like I ended up losing a friendship over it. And like, But also not, like, the friendship ended because the friendship was supposed to end.
I don't know, right? Did you lose it? Did you really lose it?
It is what it is, you know? But then that, I ended that job because he was psychotic. Then I went back into fitness. So now I'm doing, modeling's like non-existent right now because it's COVID. Then I'm doing classes. And then they invited me to start teaching classes at Space Park. And then everyone at Space Park was like, didn't you used to be a bottle girl? And I'm like, no. And they're like, do you want to work at Space? And I was like, I don't. And then they're like, do you want to work at Three Points? And I'm like, I don't. And they're like, do you want to work at Factory Town? And I'm like, I don't. And they're like, do you want to work at Art Basel? And I'm like, all right, fuck it. So I work. I'm in sales. I can sell anything.
You can sell it.
I'm amazing. Yeah. I kill it. And they're like, okay, we're going to book you just like for our events. I'm like, great. And then they're like, everyone at Space has COVID. We need a girl for New Year's Eve. Can you work? And I'm like, fine. And I work. And the thing is, like, for holidays and like big parties, you're not working the long shifts. It's like 10 hours. So it wasn't that deep. So I was like, okay, fine. And then somebody called out and needed, like, I needed to work like a real shift there. And so now I'm working from like 9:30 to like 2 p.m. And I'm like, I'm never doing this again.
Never.
And then I get my check and I'm like, I work at Space now.
I work at Space.
You know? And so like now I'm working at Space full time. I'm barely teaching. I'm subbing at my class. Like if I'm tired, I'm subbing
how?
My class.
Yeah.
Out. I'm like, I don't want to do it. Sub it out. I don't want to train. Sub it out. I made like.
Also that you did that like while you were sober.
Sober as fuck. Well, yeah. It's also like they're disgusting. Like the people that own it, like I have no shade with them, but like the people that go there are, you know, they're doing what
zombies,
they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm making a fuck ton of money. I'm fucking awful because essentially, if you're a drug addict, like, you hate yourself. So, like, I'd literally, like, I'd be with a table, and I'm like, you're a piece of shit. Nobody loves you. Give me $2,000. And they're like, okay. I made, like, $200K working there.
What?
For, like, a year. Like, on paper, like, my tax return said $145, and then, like, all the cash. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Killed it. And I was
mean. I hope those people got help, though.
All the girls hated me. I had like two friends there. That's not true. I shouldn't even say that. I actually knew a lot of them from Wall. Like people knew me and we were cool, but like at work, like I'm ruthless. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like, we don't share tips. We don't really help each other.
Yeah.
So it's like, I gotta work. You know what I mean? And I was in it, you know, but I got fired because like a client like didn't want to tip me and I like cussed him out and like.
You know,
I'm like that. Like, I'm just like, you know what I mean? Like this was like 2 years ago. So I get fired. I'm fucking devastated because I'm like, I'm never going to make this money again. Like, there's no way. Like, I'm going to teach.
Well, it's hard for people to get out of the club in general.
All the girls that wanted to leave with me are still there.
It's hard because the money's so good.
The money is good. And, but you know what? It's funny because as soon as I left, the money got bad.
Oh.
So it's like,
it worked. It's because you left.
It worked. It was just, the crypto shit dried up.
Yeah, yeah.
So then, you know, like the disposable income dries up. Uh-huh. So like, I'm still talking to the girls that are there and they're like, it's terrible. And then they had to close for a little bit for reno. So it's like, I'm still really good friends with a few of the girls. Like one girl who actually is managing there. Like two of them are like, one of them is doing my training. Like I'm cool with all the, I'm not cool with all the girls, but I'm cool with, you know, a core few of those girls. And I love them. And, you know, I wish them retirement. If you are watching this, like I wish to see you on the other side. Cause it's hard. You know what I mean? I get it. And they're like, we all want to have, you know, we all want to get married and have kids and have babies. And I'm like, you're working a cesspool. Like, it's not going to happen until you get the fuck out, you know, especially your body, you know?
Yeah.
And so I left or they got rid of me. And I remember being like, there's no way I'm ever going to make this money again. You know, like how? Like teaching classes, like training clients, like there's no way. And I got with somebody who is like very big in the spiritual world, who I respected a lot. And they were just like, stay in wellness. Like they didn't say much, but they said the right things, you know? And they were just like, stay in wellness.
But sometimes that's what it takes.
Well, and when she told me that, when they told me that, I was just like, okay.
At the time, you probably wanted all the answers.
I was just like, this is not what I want to do. So I'm trying to get another job at a club. Nobody's hiring me. I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do? And then Aloe hits me up and I'm like, oh, okay. And then I'm like, I wonder if I should do a certification. And then like, I call the woman from Equinox who certified me. Her name is Sue. I'm like, hey, Sue. I was like, I had this idea to do a certification. Like, I don't know, like, what it entails. I don't know if I'm, like, way out of my league here, but it's something that I've thought of.
And why would you be out of your league here?
Not out of my league, but, like, what are the requirements? Do I need to go through some sort of specific training?
Is it, like, Mission Impossible to go do this?
Not Mission Impossible, but just, like, I want to do it right. So tell me what I need to do to execute it properly.
Yeah.
Because if I do it, I'm doing it. I'm not going to kind of do it, right? And she's like, honestly, you don't really have to do anything. It's not regulated. You can do an independent training. She's like, well, why do people want to sign up with you? I'm like, I'm Jungle Johanna. And she's like, yeah, but like, she's like, yeah, but like, what else? Like, is there a purpose behind it? And I was like, well, I really want to diversify the wellness industry. And I really want to get more Black women to teach Pilates. Yeah. And she's like, I'm going to stop you right there. And I'm like, here we go. And she's like, run it. She's like, that's amazing. Run it. And I'm like,
oh, you thought she was going to like clap? I thought she was going to be like, relax.
Wow, that's a little, you know, because she's a white lady. And she's like, that's amazing. Like, that's what you need to do. She's like, it's needed. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
Okay. And I started advertising it. And like, I advertised a scholarship. So like, people were just hitting me up trying to get free training.
Yeah.
Nobody was hitting me up to like actually sign up. And I was like, what the fuck? And then one person to two people, then it sold out. And then, like, I was really smart. I had a guy do my training. It was funny. He was a friend of mine. He's a yoga teacher. And I was like, listen, I will give you the training for free if you film content for me.
Yeah.
And he was like, I was going to pay for it. And I was like, cool. Well, now you don't have to. And I took the content and I sold the next one. And then I did content and sold the next one and the next one. So, like, now, like, way more money than I ever made at Space. Not doing fuck shit, you know? Like, I don't know what my purpose was at that time, but I don't think my purpose was to sell booze to people at 13 years sober. Like, just a thought.
Yeah.
And then here we are, you know? So I'm still doing the retreats. I'm doing a lot of collaborative retreats this year. I kind of just want to, like, expand and, like, hosting a retreat by yourself is a lot of work.
Yes.
The money is great.
I'm, like, tiptoeing into that space, and I'm just like...
It's a lot, but it's worth it. You know, if it sells, you get a pretty decent bag, but I have a lot of women who want to invite me on their retreat and they do the work and I make less money, but I just have to show up.
Yeah.
So I'm like, fuck it. I'm down. Still doing things for Aloe. Doing a couple of like consulting gigs. Like I'm like consulting for studios now, like helping studios become successful and helping them run their program.
Yeah.
And like, what do we name the classes? Who do we hire? How do we promote? How do we, you know, market, facilitate? And then I'm helping my husband with his restaurant.
Okay. So like when you went from a life that was without purpose and then you started to find it, like were you ever just like, oh, now I know what it is? Or was it like a gradual like combination?
No, it did click for me. I also didn't know I was without purpose until I found the purpose.
Sure.
That's what's kind of...
That's how I felt when I was postpartum. I did not know that I had postpartum depression until I like was out of it.
Yeah. That's the tricky thing where like you don't know until you know. And then you're like, oh, you know, I've always been a money manifester and a master manifester. And I've always been really good at like getting a bag.
Yeah.
The thing for me is like, I had to realize that not all money is good money. And that's where...
Like, say that again, please.
Not all money is good money.
That's right.
You know? And I've heard that through other...
But explain that because not a lot of people are understanding why. They don't get why.
Someone else has put it in that term for me, you know? And I've heard it through, you know, through different communities as well. But, you know, some people that, you know, I was really close to, you know, in my spiritual journey were like, how are you working at Space but then teaching fitness? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not aligned.
And I remember when I got fired from Space, I was still doing like bottle serving gigs. Like I was still doing gigs on the side.
Like pick it up here and there.
And at the time I had people that were holding me accountable and I was like, yo, like why? Like they're like, yo, you're never going to get into your big wellness bag if you keep tiptoeing in this bullshit. Because you're showing the universe like you're not really all in. You're not 10 toes down, bitch. Like you're just like, you're in it when you're in it for Aloe. You're in it for this. Like you're not really in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, you're right. So it really took a lot of faith. Because I had to trust that I was going to get that big bag on the other side.
But
and
how
most
do you
people
do that?
Don't. You just have to act as if. You just have to, you know
okay,
what I
but
mean?
But that's where people need to learn. I think that's a key thing that people can learn from you, right? Is like, because the faith element is hard. I think people, anybody in a 12-step program might understand faith.
Right.
And like people who go to spirit are part of religious groups and whatever. But like the faith factor, when you are in it and you are trying to hustle and you don't know the answer.
It's hard.
Like,
it's hard.
Because
you're like, I need to pay
you,
my rent. Oh, I'm just going to sit around and wait. I get it. I think the most important thing is like to be open. You know what I mean? And to really like pray to something, you know? I wouldn't even say I was doing all of that. I just remember like it was little decisions I made along the way where I was like, no, I'm not going to.
Oh my gosh, it's no. Like saying
like,
no
I was
to
like, I'm
going
to say no to this festival. Yeah. I'm going to say no to this gig. I don't think I want to collab with this person. I don't think. And it's like, I really couldn't do that until I was in my purpose. So like, I don't have a formula for that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I can't tell you like, if you do A plus B, it equals C. I just know that my journey was a lot of, I had a lot of people in the, on the way telling me really great things that I could learn from, which was amazing. And even if I'm not cool with those people today, I can still take the helpful things that they told me and stand that like, yo, you helped me so much. Like, unfortunately we're not cool anymore, but like, and it's always been like that. Like, I've always been like, yo, I fuck with you. I fuck with the things you're telling me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, some people have just had different opinions about me and that's on them, but like, I'm not going to discredit the impact that they've had on me. It would be, you know, dishonest on my part to do that, you know? But once I really did the certifications and I was making money, but like, I wasn't charging a lot. I'm still not charging a lot. And people were coming to me and traveling to get certified by me because they wanted me to certify them.
Why?
And they wanted, I think because of what I was doing for the community, you know, especially girls, especially black women.
Yeah.
Black women want to get certified by black women and a black woman that was like holding it down, you know? Yeah. And I have white girls in my cert. I have Latin girls in my cert. And I talk to everybody the same in my cert. You know, my cert's about diversity. So like, I even say, like, I tell the white girls, I'm like, look, you might not be a diverse person yourself, but what happens when a black girl comes up in your class and she's got a different body type? And, you know, you're saying, stick your stomach in, flat stomach, you know, glue your ass to the mat. And this girl's got a huge ass. And you're using that type of language, she's not going to feel welcome in the class. So I teach people how to cue appropriately. I teach people to ask permission and consent before they touch people.
Yeah.
I let people know that people have different body types. So you have to cue them in a different way, in a way that makes them feel seen. So I give knowledge to people that aren't diverse on how to work with diverse people so that they're not being
really
harmful.
Important.
Really important. And then the girls that are diverse learn how to work with their own body. And learn how to cue and learn how to speak and learn how to get the, you know, because the whole thing for me is like, unfortunately, like, especially in Pilates yoga too, but I think Pilates even more, like, there's a Pilates body and everyone's in aloe and like everyone's on fucking Ozempic and everyone's in beige. And like, you know, I teach at all these studios in South Beach and like, you know, all these girls have big rings on and all these things. And it's like, they fuck with me because I have that shit too. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a white perceived black girl. I'm tall. I'm thin. I have a European body. I have a European nose. Like, I get it. They look at me like, we love her. We love her tattoos. She's so funny.
You're a people spirit animal.
You know what I mean?
You're
but
a people
like,
spirit person.
You know, a regular shaped, you know, a fuller shaped black girl from Brooklyn might not teach at that studio and get that type of welcoming.
Of course.
So for me, I'm like, I'm going to give you the knowledge to be amazing at Pilates. So that when you go and you audition for a studio, they might look you up and down and then you give the audition and then they're
like, I'm her.
Oh,
I'm her.
Not even I'm her. No, you're not her. It's fuck all that. It's they're good at Pilates. And it's like, fuck, she doesn't look like the girl that we would hire, but she's knows what she's doing. We have to give it to her.
Thank you for listening to the Becoming Her podcast. If you love this episode, share it with a friend who may need to hear what we spoke about today. And if you really love this episode, make sure to leave a 5-star rating and a review. Your comments are so important and valued, and they give other listeners insight on what to expect from Becoming Her. If you're looking for deeper connection, check out the Becoming Her exclusive online community where you will meet with me and other like-minded, mission-centered women who are on the journey to the biggest, most glorious homecoming and glow up. You can connect with me personally on Instagram at Nikki Sapsbo and @becoming_her. For more information on all of the things, visit nikkispo.com. My hope for you today is that you are courageous and looking inward so that you can be your highest, most authentic self and go after the life of your dreams.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.